To episode two. Yeah, we're on two out of two so far. And I think we have a whopping 32 or something. We have like 30-something listeners or fans or something. At least that's what Facebook says. So we thank you, all 30-some of you who like what we're doing. I'm going to guess maybe like, 40. Christy, we're up to 40 likes.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to say maybe 5 of you are listening out of that 40. But hopefully more of you will. So welcome to week 2. Again, I'm Joanne.
And I'm Christy.
And Christy. And you might know me as Girchik. And you should know Christy is AdvGoddess on Twitter. And on ADV Writer, of course. So we are back. And I don't know, Christy, how has your week been? What's been going on since last week?
No riding. So, of course, I'm a little bit upset about that. But I aim to change it this weekend, at least briefly.
Why no riding?
The weather, time, work. Yeah, lots of excuses.
The weather? Wait, don't you live in sunny Southern California? It's raining here, so I don't know. I mean, what do you got?
I'm an incredibly fair weather rider, so if it's even slightly misty, I get a little bit nervous about freeway riding.
Oh.
Recreational is entirely different animal, but freeway riding for me, I just don't quite trust the drivers, and today was pretty evident working in the rain and watching people drive their cars.
Okay, I can totally see that. I can absolutely see commuting in the rain, like on 5 or whatever highway it is you have down there with... Yeah. I would totally avoid that as well. I think if I had to commute across the Golden Gate or the Bay Bridge or anything like that, I probably would avoid it too. Just because, I don't trust the people up here, but it's not too bad. We had sun until, I want to say Tuesday, like just the other day, and then today it started raining just this afternoon, and tonight was raining, so I rode home in the rain a little bit, but... You know, San Francisco's a lit city. It's not a big deal to ride in the rain 10 miles an hour. But I certainly don't enjoy riding in the dark in the rain. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, the other day I saw in the news that Usher, those of you who are fans of Usher, bought a Ducati. I think he lives in New York. And I think, I want to say that's where he bought his Ducati. He bought a... I don't know which one of the monsters, and just a cute little picture of him on his bike, and he's wearing this cute, you know, I don't know what kind of jacket he's wearing. It's some little fashion outfit, and you know, he's got his Ducati helmet and his Ducati gloves. You know, it's so cute. Oh no, he was in Hollywood, it looks like. I don't know where that man hangs out, but just one of the many celebrities riding motorcycles and, you know, totally misrepresenting us in every way possible.
Yeah, Justin Bieber is doing an excellent misrepresentation of the motorcycle community by getting handed a one-off MV Agusta F3675.
But have you seen him in L.A.? He's probably on your freeway.
probably not lane splitting with me in the morning, that's for sure.
No, he's on an 848 Evo. He's on one of the Ducati race bikes. And he's sporting red, I kid you not, red, maybe suede or leather high tops with little, what appear to be gold or silver sequins and zippers. Yeah. And he's standing up halfway on his Ducati, no gloves. It appears he's wearing skinny jeans that sag down his tiny little ass. And then a hoodie with his sleeves up and some kind of dark helmet. Yeah. Here, I'll send you that so you can ogle this photo as well. What do we think about celebrities riding motorcycles for us?
You know, people riding motorcycles in general and celebrities kind of elevating motorcycles, if you will.
Elevating.
It's always good, you know, in my opinion, because perhaps there's someone driving along that sees a motorcyclist and thinks, oh, I don't want to hit him. It might be Brad Pitt, when it's really me, but it's totally fine because they're actually concerned. However, no, the kind of, I guess if you want to look at the celebrity in a way that what they wear on a bike or what they wear or how they act or what they, you know, clothes and everything kind of has its effect on people who don't know any better and see that and want to emulate that, I would be concerned. Red leather high tops, jeans on a Ducati like that. Not really the outfit that I would be personally wearing.
Never gloves. There's like 8 photos of him here on this dark Ducati, and he's got a showy, like an R500 on, which is great, but no gloves, always skinny jeans, sometimes skinny leather jeans.
And a Letterman's jacket.
Oh, and this one, he's got matching red, it appears to be patent leather red high tops to match the red wheels on his fancy Ducati.
Well, I don't know if the sequins and the zipper bling is safe, but, you know, to each his own. I don't listen to his music, so I can't really comment too much more about how I feel about him not wearing the appropriate gear. But,
well, it's not just him. Like, have you seen photos of Brad and What's Her Bucket, Angelina? And, the only photo I think I've ever seen of any celebrity... Okay, I've seen a couple photos. Okay, there's like Michael Jordan. Yeah, right. We know he loves race bikes. He loves riding on the track. He has a race team. Got that covered, right? So, yes, I've seen Michael Jordan in a one-piece leather doing the track thing. But on the street, I want to say the closest I ever came to seeing anyone remotely, properly, and I mean fully properly geared up, not in a race suit or, you know, in the streets of L.A., but... you know, riding boots, riding pants, gloves, full face helmet, and a riding jacket, you know, maybe textile or whatever. I think the closest I saw was like, Alanis Morissette when she was, who was she dating?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. She was dating Ryan Reynolds, but you guys didn't know that. And she was on a BMW, I think.
Mm-hmm. She does ride.
She was almost fully geared up, and I think she even, it's just pants. She didn't have riding pants, but she was wearing jeans. And I want to say she had riding boots, but she was actually like 3/4 of the way there. She was kind of more casually dressed, maybe for city riding. But I haven't seen any of them like...
Helmet, glove, and boots is about the extent that I see typically, if that.
Right?
And maybe not even appropriate footwear.
No, like work boots or some cute little hiking boot. And I mean, I have seen, I've seen Brad in jeans and like a, you know, some kind of boot, glove and a leather jacket and a helmet, but he's not wearing like a riding leather jacket. So at least he seems to cover up on and off, but he also, I can see that when he switches bikes, like he goes from one of his weird cafe racers to, you know, some bobbery thing to his sporty thing, he changes up his look. Because I've seen him here on this really funky... Oh, on a Roland Sands special. It's beautiful. And he's more geared up on this than his little cafe racer. I don't know what that is. And he's wearing it's like this really old school cafe...
I think you're going to have to post the photo now.
Okay, sorry. Here, let me... I'll link these... These cute links. I change my look though. Like when I was riding the Royal Enfield Bullet, which is a really cool, you know, classic vintage style motorcycle. I didn't wear my CD race boots. You know, I wore my like kind of casual Alpenstars leather jacket and just kind of consciously thought about how I would look in this outfit. You know, I'm not going to wear my Gore-Tex outfit on a classic vintage standard. So, yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
I have had the outfit argument with men before about look.
Oh.
It's always interesting. to try to explain that, yes, you need to gear up, but at the same time, if you feel like a cafe, you can't exactly wear the Gore-Tex, the textile, the off-roading. You have to have clothes that match your bike.
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but, you know, it kind of matters. I mean, I will say, though, that between the Brammo that I have, the Inertia, and my SV, I actually pretty much stick to the same gear on both. They're comfortable. All the gear that I have is actually comfortable on both bikes. So I wear the Gore-Tex on both. It really comes down to like what the weather is more often than not. So with those two bikes, they're two totally different. I mean, you've seen pictures. They're completely different. Mm-hmm. But I pretty much wore the same thing on both of those. But I don't know, the Brammo's like such a weird, like, asexual motorcycycle. Like, it's this weird.
You have to wear vegan leathers.
No. I am not that religious about those things. I like meat. I just had a burger. I love protein.
So did I.
Yeah, I like beef and pork and chicken and all the good stuff.
And electric motorcycles.
Yeah. That's not necessarily vegan, but I don't know. There's something really, like, neutral about that bike, that everything on it looks fine. Like, it doesn't really you know what I mean? It doesn't have a strong look to it in my mind, like, say, your BMW does, or the Royal Enfield. Like, it's this weird middle-of-the-road thing.
So, well, I think they're focusing on what everyone is looking at in terms of electric bikes, which is how far can it go on one charge? And sadly, that's where they've been lacking. And granted, they've been improving over the last couple of years, but I think they still have a little bit of ways to go before it's something that's going to catch interest.
They're just getting started, but I will.
Exactly.
But I will say that Brammo has certainly taken it really far. I mean, they've sold that race bike, that Impulse, and I'll make sure I note that. That Impulse has outsold, it's sold. Like every pre-order, all the pre-orders are sold. Every model that hits the floor in our shop goes. That people love them. It's crazy.
How far does it go on a single charge?
So the Impulse R, which is their top of the line, you know, race bike, sport bike, it's a combined range of 120, and that's city and highway. If you combine the two, if you do all city, you would get about the 100-120. If you do all highway, say you have a 40-30 mile commute one way on the highway, you're gonna cut it down to about 80, something like that. It just depends how hard you're running it. So we've had a lot of people who actually work in Oakland or work across the one bridge or work down toward the Silicon Valley buy this bike so they can ride, get their one way, and then they can plug in there if they need to. But it's actually working really well for most people in terms of commuting. Hmm. So it's just, you can't just open the battery though and like, or open the seat, pop the battery out and go take it in and charge it. You have to,
charge the whole bike.
Yeah, so you have to have a parking garage or, you know, of course, somewhere where you can plug in your...
A very long extension cord.
A really long cord. But so far, people are doing it and they're loving it. And I mean, that bike has been a real hit. And I've ridden it and it's awesome. It's 10 times more fun than the Inertia just because it has way more power.
Yeah, what's the full throttle open on that bike?
It has a top speed of 100.
Wow.
Yep, and I believe it's the first electric bike to reach that top speed. And they've really worked really hard on that bike, and there's a lot of engineering and innovation in that. So yeah, I didn't get to take it on the freeway, sadly. I only got to ride it around the city and up to Twin Peaks, which is a nice, cute little, great little twisty, like 1 mile, 2 mile little trip around the mountain. But it corners it beautifully, and it has an amazing suspension. It was so fun. It was really, really fun.
And Brammo is based out of Northern California as well, correct?
They're in Oregon, Ashland.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah,
okay.
They're just
so,
in Oregon.
So the electric bikes, it's the competition between Santa Cruz Zero and
sure.
Oregon Brammo.
Well, pretty much, because those two are the ones that are like on the market right now and accessible. Like, yeah. Not just really, I mean, you don't have to be a millionaire to buy one, you know.
No, and if you check out eBay, the link that I forwarded you, it's about $3,500 will get you a 2011, I think it was, Zero.
Oh, was it directly from Zero, or is it someone just reselling?
No, it was someone reselling.
Ah, yeah, that's actually really, really inexpensive, because they probably paid
triple but considering
that.
It was 2011, I guess it's kind of like the way, you know, any kind of technology, like a laptop goes. It's laptops that are three or four years ago, right now are light years different. And so I think in terms of, you know, charging and how far it can go and what its top speed is probably quite different today than it was a couple of years ago. But it may still be worth it if you're, you know, someone who's not doing an incredible commute.
No, it isn't. And I mean, it is. And that's why I really love mine, because it's a city mover. If you live in San Francisco or you live in, you know, your commute or where you live and where you need to get around was within 5 or 10 square miles and everything is pretty close together and you don't need to get on the highway, it makes complete sense to have something like a smaller electric bike like the Inertia, because it only has a 40 mile range, but I'm not going to go 40 miles in my 7x7 city in one day. So it makes perfect sense here. It just doesn't make perfect sense if you live in like Sacramento or in LA. Yeah. Where it takes you an hour to go 5 miles. I mean,
it's more like an hour to go 25, but there are some places in, when you're not on the freeway that it'll take about.
As long as you're not on the freeway, you know, maxing out your battery. I mean, yeah, it's just even in LA, even in parts, right? If you live and work in downtown LA specifically, right? And you don't need to get on the freeway to go to work, but you're navigating through traffic. It is an awesome bike for traffic. It's the best thing I've ridden when it's bumper to bumper. When everyone is stuck there sitting for the light to change, I don't have to. You know, it's like, it's so skinny and nimble. I can pretty much lane share right up the middle or, you know, bypass traffic if I need to. And it's awesome. So it's really lifestyle driven.
Yeah. No gas tank. You can fit pretty much anywhere.
Oh, I was riding home tonight and I just had this random thought. Like I wish I had a camera. Well, I was riding. So I wish I had another hand so that my left hand could, you know, flip the gas station, the bird. And then my third hand could take a picture, because our gas prices in San Francisco have jumped up to about $4.50 now.
Hmm.
Yeah, from like, you know, $4. Now we're like 30, 40 cents. Well, you know, your gas is probably $4.50 too down there. Yeah, like somewhere in the
about fours. That. It's around $4.09 or $4.29, and at the stations that I worked at today in West LA, it was $5.09.
Oh my God. Yeah. So we're even a little bit lower than that, but we're in the fours now. And so I just thought it'd be great if I could get that picture, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say that after one podcast with me, Joanne is now flipping people the bird.
No, I
imagine what this is going to be like if we make it to like 32.
I didn't say the people. I meant the corporation.
Same difference.
Okay, fine. Those wealthy stockholders, but it is so nice. I don't miss the gas station. I really don't miss going there at all and giving them my money. I mean, if only I had solar panels on my house, I would be completely self, you know, my Brahmo would be completely self-sufficient. Wouldn't be, you know, sucking energy from PG&E the way I am now, but.
This is true.
But I have to get that picture. It's
no, right. No celebrities on electric bikes that I'm aware of, unless Leonardo DiCaprio rides.
Well, I'm surprised he doesn't have one yet, but Brahmo, there's actually a video they posted on their Twitter and their YouTube and all their social media recently where they went to visit Jay Leno's garage, because I think he got one.
Really?
Yeah.
Just for the novelty.
Well, it's Jay Leno. Like, he buys one of everything that comes out, I think. And there's pictures of him riding it, you know.
That's amazing.
And of course, Jay Leno's like another
suited
squiddy.
Up.
Yeah, right.
No.
Not in the pictures that I saw anyway. Like, he's totally, let me check. He's totally just squidding it like everyone else. But I mean, he wears his full face helmet and he wears his jeans. It's like, he's like, I'd say middle of the road. Like he looks a little bit more average rider, not total Justin Bieber or anything like that. But
Actually, I have a list of some of the actors that I pulled up, and, and I'm ashamed to say that of the list of celebrity actors that ride, I could come up with a handful of women.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and yeah, I've got, yeah, I can only think of like
there are more. There are more, but you know, just off the top of a couple searching, and part of which because I watch the show Shameless. I know that William H. Macy, Justin Chatwin, and Steve Howie, all three actors on that show, all take trips together on their Easy Rider style bobbers.
Oh, well, you know, we don't care what the old guys are doing. What girls did you find?
Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Keanu Reeves, Bradley Cooper, Jim Caviezel, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, Gerard Butler, Jay Leno, Tom Cruise, David Beckham, Adam Levine, Aaron Eckhart, Dan Aykroyd, Matt LeBlanc, Joshua Jackson. Yeah, it goes on forever.
Yeah.
But sadly, the female section here, Katie Sackhoff and Tricia Helfer from Battlestar.
Yeah.
Olivia Munn, they've seen her around town on a Triumph. Pink, she's ridden for a long time. Yeah. Marissa Miller, one of the
crazy.
Yeah, Marissa Miller, one of the Victoria's Secret Angels, and Margaret Cho.
Yes,
the comedian.
I think she's on a scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know she rides a Harley. I think too.
Oh, I thought I saw a picture of her at one point on a scooter. Maybe it was actually a small motorcycle, and she's wearing a Revit jacket, like a sexy leather Revit. Yeah, yeah. She's on a little like classic Honda. Yeah, a little Honda Dream.
Ah, yes.
And she's actually only squinting it waist down. So she's got a discontinued Revit leather jacket called the CR, which is actually really, really, really pretty.
Yeah,
and her awry.
It.
But then she's got, I don't think those are
tights and fashiony boots.
Yeah.
And it is a dream.
Yeah. So good. She's the second Asian. She's the second Asian chick on a motorcycle. Or maybe the
in our conversation.
Well, in terms of celebrities, I think Sandra Oh, you know, I remember seeing her riding in movies. She was on a Honda Rebel, I think, or a cruiser in that one movie where they were in wine country. But other than that, I think it's just me and Margaret.
Yeah.
Who else is on your list?
That was literally the list of six women, was it?
Wait, what about Angelina Jolie?
Does she ride herself? Or is she a passenger?
I've seen her both. I think I've seen her do both. I've seen her on the back of scooters and bikes with Brad, and I've seen her, I want to say I've seen her on a bike. I mean, she technically rode a little bit, didn't she, in that movie Salt? Maybe she, you know,
maybe
she was
correct on that.
Like, she was on the Triumph in that. Oh, she's on a Ducati. I mean,
if she did her own stunts.
Well, I don't think she did her own stunts, but I want to say that they probably did get her going like 5 miles an hour, like head on, just like those shots where she's not.
Yeah, there are pictures of her riding a bike.
Okay, so technically,
it's a Tomb Raider.
Yeah, there you go. So technically, she rides, right? The other one is Queen Latifah. She rides, I believe, but I think she also squids it as well. Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, she's the worst. I think she's the worst example of squidding celebrity I've ever seen. I mean, just there was a picture of her at a gas station, and she's on a cruiser of some sort. I'm assuming she's in a non-helmet law state because she's not wearing a helmet. And instead, her pretty girlfriend is, and she's obviously wearing a helmet that's too big because I can tell it's like falling off of her. And she's wearing purple Crocs. Well, here, I'll show you. This is like,
oh God, please.
Thanks, Rosie. Nothing else. Leggings, like short yoga pants, a t-shirt, absolutely nothing. Oh yeah, I can see her wife's helmet. It's just falling off her head. It's got to be a helmetless state. I don't see a license plate though, but I don't think she lives here. Yeah, I mean, just thanks. We really don't need you to be riding motorcycles for us. Thanks.
It's a polarizing thing, gear. Just as much as different kinds of motorcycles are polarizing to one faction and the other.
It is, but I mean, isn't there a middle ground, you know, like Crocs and a half helmet? Like, isn't there...
Well, I won't argue with that. The Crocs part's got me.
You know, I mean, like, here's Jay, and he's on the Impulse, and he's wearing, like, some work hiking shoes and jeans and a jacket, a leather jacket of some kind, some gloves and a full face, so at least he's, like, clothed. You know, a little clothing is nice, but I think it's just like a changing of the guard. You know, there's a lot of new people riding, and I think the general consensus among, I would say, the majority, at maybe 60% or 55%, think it's better to wear gear than not.
And I think that, you know, the whole gear thing, if you don't just initially start riding and are completely geared up, and when we talk about gearing up, we're talking about appropriate footwear and gloves and jacket and complete helmet, full face, you know, preferred modular, you know, what have you, and pants. So either you start that way or something happens to you that compels you to change to that way.
Like bodily injury?
Sadly, that may be it. Or you hear something that completely changes the way you think about things. And I would probably say somewhere between, like, I definitely can't say, I won't lie, I did not start wearing a lot of gear, but then again, I learned how to ride a motorbike when I was in Thailand, so come on. You only have access to a brain bucket there, so I won't post that picture. I think I'm keeping that one under wraps.
Oh, come but, on. Everybody wants to see. I'll post one.
I read an article or a forum post on ADV Rider several years ago about a guy who was moving his Ducati in his garage. And I think he was actually moving it into his garage, and he had a car parked.
I have read that thread.
He just lost his footing, you know, wasn't wearing a helmet. He was moving his bike 5 feet, maybe, tops.
Yep.
Wasn't wearing a helmet and, you know, probably didn't have the best shoes on. Slipped and lost control of the bike. And that's almost all he remembered, I guess, according to the thread. And, you know, got up and went inside and told his wife, you know, hey, I'm kind of feeling a little down and out. I'm just going to take a nap. And I believe she woke him up and took him to the hospital. But basically all this guy did was move his bike 5 feet, dropped it. And with the short, you know, no speed, nothing. He's walking. He's bitch walking his bike. And he drops it and his head hits the pavement. And he ended up having so many stitches in his skull because he had cerebral hemorrhage, brain swelling, that his skull looked like, and I'm not kidding, a baseball. The stitching on his skull reminded me of a baseball. And I looked at that and thought, I am never not wearing my helmet while moving a bike. And in fact, I might just wear one every day, whether I'm riding or not.
Okay, see, so that, okay, that brings me to my butt story. Well, it's not nearly as bad as that guy. My God, that photo was just so telling. But the thing is, I think people know that, like, I think here's the sad part. Everybody knows that, yeah, my head is very vulnerable. It's flesh and it's bone. My whole body is vulnerable. In their right minds, people know this to be true. That's why people protect their children so fiercely and make them wear helmets and, you know, knee guards when they go riding their bicycles. And, you know, we know that. We know that your head is not, it doesn't have an invisible shield around it. But there's just this, like, wall of denial. Like, it's not going to happen to me. I'll be fine. It's not going to happen. So, and it's, I think it's kind of a natural thing to think. It's a lot like, I don't know. I mean, it's like driving your car, right? You could die in your car. Someone could rear end you. Someone could T-bone you. Someone could run you off the road in your car while they're in their car, right? I mean, we know this kind of stuff happens. Bad things happen all the time. But I think for some people, living in fear of it and gearing up as a result is, I think, a form of acceptance. Like, I could die and I really could hurt myself. And by buying all this gear and wearing it, I'm admitting it to myself. I think there's a little bit of that. And it's just a, I don't know, I hate to say it, but I think it's just a, it's just riding your motorcycle. It's one of the things we have to accept, right? As a consequence, we could die. We could be injured. We could sprain an ankle. We could break a finger. These things can happen to us. But we ride anyway. I ride anyway, even though my hip and my groin are killing me almost every day.
That's because it's awesome.
The hip and
groin
pain.
Ride the awesome should be someone's campaign.
Well, riding is more awesome. It's just the pain afterward that isn't, leading up to it that isn't. But when I get on the bike, it's like the pain disappears for just the time that I'm riding. And I don't even think about it. It's really weird because it hurts. If I'm just sitting here now, it's aching in my chair. And even though the riding position is just similar to a chair, I should be in pain when I'm on that bike. That's the only thing I should be thinking about, but I don't. Luckily it's not that severe. It's not like a 9 out of 10, but it's certainly a 4 or 5 on most days and most nights. But I don't know. There's something about getting on the bike. I just don't even think about it. I just forget about the pain, and I don't know. I just don't let it hurt me. I guess I don't let it hurt. I don't know until I get off the bike, but oh, my butt. So
yes, please tell us about your butt.
I know you're all dying to know. I was walking down the stairs last week. So it's Thursday now. This was last Friday or Thursday, and I was doing laundry. And the way my house is set up, garage and entry, first level, living area, second level. The laundry room is in the garage. So I have to go downstairs, which is carpeted, go out the front door, and then into my garage because I don't have internal access to the garage, right? There's no door inside. So I'm wearing my slippers. You know, they actually have a rubber sole so I can walk outside. Yeah, I got my pajama pants on and I'm wearing my robe, you know, because I'm doing laundry. And I just shuffle down the stairs carrying my basket of laundry too quickly. I just was shuffling really fast and my whole foot stepping on the stair, my heel did, and I lost traction. And then my rear end gave out and I landed on my ass on the halfway down the stairs. And then I ended up tumbling down the rest of the way on my butt.
Nice. Well, your ass broke your fall.
Right. So I didn't, at least my hands, so I didn't put my hands out. Because I was holding the laundry. So I couldn't put my hands out because my arms were full. So instead, I let my ass take the fall. And it hit every stair, like 6 stairs halfway down. And I got up and I was fine, picked up my laundry, and then I finished. Like, oh, whatever. Fell down the stairs. But the next day, when I was on the couch, or I went to sit down or get up off the couch, and my ass is sore, like my butt cheeks are sore, and I just totally forgot that I fell the other day, and I didn't even think about it until, you know, I went to sit down, and I think I hit one of the wood beams on the couch or something, and it just started to ache. And then when I got on my bike, the seat is like 4 inches wide. So I totally noticed it then. So all week, I've been riding with a bumpy butt.
So that reminds me of the commercials, the Charmin commercials, where the little girl would shove like 6 or 7 rolls into her pants and then fall and then bounce and not have a problem. I think. You should locate that older pair of leathers that you had to replace because you lost so much weight and shove some Charmin in there. And I think you've got something going there.
When I go to do my laundry.
Yeah, that too. You might want to wear your leathers and a helmet when you do your laundry.
Well, so that, you know, that pretty much, oh crap. I mean, that basically brought me to thinking about like, okay, I was walking. We're talking 0 miles an hour, right? Negative mile an hour. And I just slipped. And this is a carpeted stair, mind you. It's, you know, it's cheap carpet. But it's there. And I'm, you know, I've got my PJs on and I land on my ass. And imagine if that's concrete and if I've got 5 miles under me or 10 miles an hour under me. It's like I'm screwed. I'm not going to wear butt pads when I ride. That's just not something I want to wear.
And now you're jealous of Kim Kardashian.
No. I am not going to try and add padding where it doesn't exist, okay? I have a little there, but it kind of cements in my mind, like, I'm not even doing anything, and I just hurt my ass, you know?
Yeah, get on a bike and go 70 miles an hour on the freeway, and then tell me how you feel.
Right? I mean, it's just... Well, okay, we all know, you know, the consequences and what could happen, so we'll just leave it at that, but I just, you know, just want everyone to be reminded that bad things can happen and...
At very slow or no speeds.
Exactly. Like walking. Like stepping. You know, not even moving at 0 miles an hour, but, you know, stepping. So, let's switch gears to, how about some little gear talk? Yeah? I think, what was it? The other day, I posted about boots? What was it? Refresh my memory. The Garnets.
Garnet.
Yes. Oh, my blog post. I think that's what those comments were about, right? That you were.
Yes.
Yeah. I posted on my blog how I kicked my Daytona habit to the curb. Well.
Yes. Your risers.
My risers. At least my training wheels. Until I jump up to an adventure bike, then I think I'll put them back on. I'll have to put them back on just to get. Well, I mean, come on. Who am I kidding? I've got a 28-inch inseam. I'm not going to ride a 35-inch bike, you know, without some help. So, if I do ever jump up to a nice big adventure bike, I may need them again. But I rode, you know, I rode my friend's DR650 just fine. Suzuki DR650 with those Garnets, or actually with the CDs, which are even lower, and that bike was awesome.
Just wait until you get into the dirt. You're going to wish that you had more height.
Well,
or a lower seat.
I would certainly wear dirt boots. Yeah, absolutely. I was, you know, tooling around San Francisco. So,
yeah.
But the cool thing about the DR650 is that there's a factory lowered option. And it lowers the bike, I don't know, like half an inch or something. Just with the factory lowering, you can do it yourself. So, it's like you don't even have to go with the stock height. But I was fine. I think the one I was riding, it was lowered just with the factory lowering and still plenty of clearance. But
factory lowering is a mixed bag.
It is, but on that bike, it was great.
Sure.
It was.
If you're doing lots of off-road and you're not doing street riding, factory lowering your suspension in general makes it a little bit tricky to do lots of dirt riding.
Yeah, very true.
Because essentially, you're bringing the bike's like chassis, if you will, closer to the ground.
Yeah.
Some other options, at least as far as BMW is concerned. I'm sure, you know, there are aftermarket options for almost any bike, but BMW offers higher seats as well as lower seats.
Right.
The compromise, though, with the lower seat, and I can tell you, I have a stock seat on my bike, but I also have something like a 30 or 32-inch inseam.
Yeah. Bitch. Sorry.
The stock seat on my bike, I can pretty much have my feet resting on the ground. The low seat is, I'm completely rested plus some on the ground, and it's great for dirt. However, the low seat compromises because the reason it's lower is because they've taken out the padding.
Right.
So you have less support for your butt, which I personally enjoy. So freeway riding and things that don't require me to be firmly planted on the ground, I do have the standard seat, and I still have my low seat in the event that I do take the BMW off-roading. So I would probably swap and then maybe put a pad or something on the low seat just to prevent me from being sore at the end of the day. But
very true.
But yeah, the boots. So you were talking about the Garnet. I keep killing the name.
Garnet, yeah. The Garnet
but,
Rose.
Garnet. But my comment was, you know, in terms of those boots, like, it's for me, it's not ideal, but it definitely was something that I like. For me, ideal would be a tall shaft and more traction on the sole.
Ooh, you said shaft.
Yeah, do you know how difficult it is to tell guys at a motorcycle dealership, I'm looking for a boot with a really tall shaft? What?
Yeah.
Or even phone conversations. Chicks mentioning the word shaft just completely, like, takes a whole nother level. But I was looking for a taller shaft on my riding boot. I originally had a Tourmaster WP Solution boots, which are waterproof boots. And they're very similar to the Garnet, as well as the Dainese Sirens, and TCX also makes a boot that is very similar.
Quite a few
different brands have a very similar looking boot where it's a very soft sole without a lot of traction, and ranging from medium to more than adequate protection over your top of your feet and your shins and your ankle. And so I went with the Dainese, actually, the Sirens, just because they did have the taller shaft. They fit me pretty well. I do like a waterproof boot in the event I do decide to foray out into the rain, which is atypical for me. But
Were the Tourmaster boots, they didn't have a lot of traction? Like, did the soles just not work very well?
All the soles on these shoes are virtually the same. They're smooth on the bottom.
Not all of them. No, I have to disagree with you there, because I wear those Garnets because they have more traction. I mean, they're not a dirt sole, so they don't have, like, all the teeth, you know, on a lug sole boot, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But they have plenty of traction. Absolutely. I mean, the CDs.
Well, maybe my definition of traction is a little bit better. It's if you were to run your hand along the bottom of it, it's slick, correct?
No.
On yours, no?
No, it's great.
I'm trying to look. I don't see the bottom on your picture, so we'll have to.
No, I mean, they may.
We'll have to fight over that later, but.
A lot of them look like that when they're brand new. Yeah, they do look shiny, but once you break them in, I mean, the whole point of them is to have more traction in just the front of the boot. I mean, that's why I wear those Garnets, and that's why I wear those Cities, because I'll never flat foot both feet ever. And even when I do flat foot one foot, my habit is still just to use the ball of my foot. Because if I want to use the whole flat, I have to shift my whole body over to get my foot down. Right, enough to be flat. It's just easier and less work if I just do one left on the ball. It's just habit. It's just what I've grown accustomed to. But I only use the ball of my sole, and that's pretty much all I ever have.
So, yeah, just in slick pavement or a little bit of sand. You know, on the asphalt, well, you put your foot down, you go for a slide.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't. Yeah, absolutely. If there's dirt or sand and gravel, yeah, a street boot is not designed for that. It's for pavement.
Sure. So, well, I mean, on pavement, if that's present on pavement.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, what I would like to see is something more like my trail running shoes, where it's
like
that's what I mean
sport.
By traction.
Okay. So, yeah, so you're looking for more of a dual sport boot. To give you a little more grip if there is dirt or gravel or whatever on a harder surface, yeah?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't have to go all full out, but
no.
Yeah, I was expecting maybe a little bit healthier of a sole on the bottom of these. But nonetheless, I mean, they're very comfortable. That style of boot, and you can get it in, obviously, almost every brand makes a boot similar to that. Very comfortable. The Tourmaster XPs, those were waterproof. They did not lie.
Yeah.
$150. I think now they sell for about $119. But back in 2007, $150. I put over 40,000 miles on those. 40,000 kilometers, something like 25 or 30,000 miles if you do the math. And never leaked once. And I would be walking around at the end of the day with the boots still on. And occasionally when I would travel with other people, the guys would be ripping their boots off with blisters and calluses. And just a slew of obscenities would follow. And here I am dancing in my motorcycle boots. Oh, these are so comfortable. You should just get a pair like this.
Now, that's what they get for wearing non-motorcycle boots.
Well, they wear motorcycle boots, but they're the kind where a little more tech than the CDs, where you've got all the... It kind of reminds me of the ski boot.
Oh, so they were wearing off-road and dirt boots.
Yeah, they were wearing serious off-road boots. Ah. And those aren't always very comfortable because they're very stiff to protect.
They're not for, like, touring or distance. They're not enduro. Because there are a few brands out there, like Garnet, that make an enduro boot. So they have the dirt function, like all the bracing and, you know, the look and feel and the functionality of a dirt boot. But they have the comfort for enduro riding. So if you're going to take a 6-month trip, right, around Latin America or wherever, you don't want to take like a CD Crossfire or Charger, which is a dirt boot, for those 6 months. You want either a dual sport boot that'll do a little bit of both, or an enduro boot, so you do get that comfort. But dual sport boots for women, they don't exist yet. I hope we get something in the next few years. I mean, as it is, the dual sport boot market is very minimal. It's they're starting to make more for men, but there barely are any right now.
Yeah. And even so, it's very difficult to find stock in the smallest of men's boots, which is somewhere between like a 37 minimum, if you even find that, and a 39.
No. If that, like, you know, we only stock 42, 41.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. If the boot comes in the 37, we're not stocking that because there aren't any guys who are in that
size. With a small foot. Yes.
Right. But but aren't you like an 8 or an...
I'm like a 39.
Okay, see,
39
at least,
or a 40.
Hey, at
and
least
and they don't
in,
stock those.
No, but you know what? At least every boot is available to you. Every boot on the planet is available to you because you are at least in range. You're in the range of a
I'm in the
boot.
Range, but yes. I also have a very narrow foot.
You do, but I've got a 37. I've got a 6.5-7. I am borderline child size, and that puts me out of any race boot, almost any race boot or track boot. Like, I have to wear a men's boot. There is, I mean, the CD Vertigos are a, you know, introductory track boot for women, granted, but I still could use a half size smaller, and they don't make them that small. And the shape of it is not small enough for my foot because I'm narrow too. I've got narrow ankle. I mean, most women have narrow ankles, narrow heel, you know, a flatter foot. And I got nothing except the more basic touring boots, because at least those do come in a 6.5-7. But I wish my foot were a full size bigger just so I could wear adventure boots. You know, at least you can get into some CD adventure rain boots. Even though they're men's boots, at least the length of your foot will get in that boot, and you could at least put in an insole to compensate for the lack of fit. You know,
and the easiest way to actually find that pair is to go down to their headquarters, because no one is going to want to order the smallest man size on the planet just for me to try them on. Because
hey, you're lucky you live there.
As most people know who have gone and looked for gear and special order different sizes, when the dealer orders those special sizes for you, they are committed to selling them. They cannot just send them back if you don't want them.
It's
hard. So it's a very difficult thing to find any dealership that's fully stocked in any range of sizes, because they have to be able to sell them. So they just go with, you know, what the market is looking for.
They can. It definitely depends, but, you know, I mean, we try to stock what we can too, but it's definitely really hard. I mean, it's today I had a girl in there and she was looking at the Vertigos for ladies, but she wanted more protection, because that, quite honestly, is really the base level of protection. It's not the ultimate. It's like, it's good, but it's not the best. And some of us want the best, damn it. I want full torsion control on my boot so that my ankle won't twist. So there is no chance of my leg snapping left to right or twisting. I want that too. But is there a woman's boot that offers it? No, there isn't.
No, because those women ride on the back of motorcycles, and they'll probably just eject themselves off of the passenger pick.
No, I don't. I do not ride on the back. I am on my bike, and she wants to do some track days, this girl, and she's like, I want something that has more torsion control from my ankle, more than this. And it was good. It's great. It is good, but it's not the best. And I had to refer her to Alpenstars because Alpenstars has the Supertech race boot, and they go down to 36, which is great. I could probably fit in those. And, you know, that would be my alternative, but, you know, it's an uphill battle. It's a constant battle, you know.
My back of bike awkward segue was to try to steer us towards BMW's new commercial motorcycle campaign.
Yes.
Have you seen those commercials yet, Joanne?
No. Where did you see it?
Basically, I will send you the link so you can kind of take a peek while I'm talking.
Yeah.
But there you go. I just added it to the calendar. So BMW comes up with this ad campaign that they call Feed Your Restless.
Okay.
And there is a series of three commercials that they filmed over the summertime in Arizona.
Okay.
And they all deal with three different kinds of bikes. One's the K-Series touring bike. Where it's two couples, and the woman obviously rides on the back, and the man is driving a K1200 bike, and they go out to lunch.
Where else can we read? Hello, I can't read if I'm riding. But you know what? At least this photo.
She's taking pictures. She's not reading.
Right. I mean, how else am I supposed to take pictures? Hello.
Yeah.
But I do like the picture.
You go out and you get yourself a Hero.
Right. How do I eat? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got my GoPro.
Yeah. So the one of them deals with the K-Series bikes, and you've got, you know, two men with their wives supposedly on the back.
Yeah.
And then the other one deals with sport bikes, and there are people getting up out of...
RR.
Yeah, waking up in a hotel or a motel somewhere and going for a ride. Mm-hmm. And that commercial, I believe, is the only redeeming commercial representation of a woman in BMW's ads, because there is a single woman who is riding her own sport bike. If it's the actor and the stunt person, you know, in one, as opposed to the girls walking around carrying a helmet and then they put someone else on the bike, you can see her take off with a ponytail.
Oh, nice.
Coming out of the helmet.
Nice.
So the last final commercial is called Cowboy Coffee, and it's a dual sport camping.
Okay.
Some folks are already sitting around a campfire, don't really know how they got in there. They rode, but did the woman ride her own? And more women on the back scenario.
Yeah.
So you can probably tell by my voice how slightly disappointed I am that of the maybe 15 or 20 people that they have in totaling all three of these commercials, that there is only one woman riding, and we make up to 25% of the motorcycle market. So if you can do the math there to realize that they're just missing something in terms of representing their market. I mean, if they could only hear the amount of women that shared what bike they rode at Horizons Unlimited's meeting in Cambria in the fall, every other person, if not every person, was riding some year of the F650, whether it be the single cylinder or the twin.
Yeah.
So clearly BMW is doing something right. Don't get me wrong, I love my bike, but I just don't like being misrepresented, and we'll see how they feel about that.
Did they respond to your tweet?
Nope.
No. Oh, by the way, on Twitter, Christy is ADV Goddess, and of course I'm Gear Chick, as I am on every social network on the planet. Without a K, side note, if you ever see Gear Chick with a K, it's an imposter. But the imposters I've seen, they're doing totally different things. Like, there's one lady's a photographer. There's one woman on Tumblr who posts to random things. There's another woman who's a fitness guru. So they're all totally random. But anyway, So they haven't replied to you.
BMW Motorrad joined Twitter just recently.
Oh,
and it's probably recently. In conjunction with launching their campaign.
Oh, okay.
So they recently tweeted, which is your favorite Feed Your Restless commercial? And they have been nonstop since last week on getting these commercials out and disseminated into the public view. And so I respond, the one with the female writers in it. Oh, yeah, there isn't one.
Hey,
no response there.
You know,
but,
I mean,
I do have to say that my opinions, though polarizing, do happen to get me, followers on occasion. So,
hey, at least I have to give props to BMW because, you know what? They actually have women in there and they're fully geared up, at least in the pictures I saw. Right? It's a snapshot and they're wearing BMW gear.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not wearing bright pink helmets and pink this and pink that. And they're at least represented in a neutral way, which is totally not the case with every other motorcycle marketing ad for women, you know.
True. BMW does sell their own gear.
Hey.
And their gear
is never pink.
Never pink. There is a teal and a black with like a purple kind of a maroon color.
I've
worn both of those. I would take either, actually, in all honesty.
Sure. I have to applaud them for having regular women. You're just your average American woman riding a motorcycle. She's not a super. I don't see any supermodels. I don't see women that don't look like they belong on the bikes. So I have to assume they're using women who ride and who have experience, right? Who actually do ride. And so that is a huge bonus right there because I feel like I never see a believable woman, you know what I mean? In general motorcycle marketing, like,
well, that's just because the marketing ads that you're looking at have women in high heel platform shoes.
No, I'm not talking about a very short skirt. I'm not talking about those disgusting magazines. No. I'm talking about gear ads in sport magazines. Not the ones where there's naked women on it, but I mean like Cycle World magazine, you know, motorcycle magazine. Just the general, you know, sport riding motorcycle mags that I actually do, you know, applaud them for not using skin on their covers. It's usually that hot rod chopper stuff, I think, you know. So, no, I mean like ads for Joe Rocket gear or whatever gear for women. It's always some pink splashed thing that I would never, most women that I know would never wear, ever. Wear. I think it's like 10 or 15% that actually would wear that. But then again, I live in San Francisco, you know, or my own universe. But
I'm not really embracing the pink down here either.
Okay, which, so you're in my universe.
Which could potentially bring us to another topic, but it's unconfirmed. I did in the last couple of weeks see something floating around the interwebs of climb gear for women. Oh. Climb is supposed to be releasing a women-specific line sometime in the spring.
Yes, and I need to do my homework to get you more info on that.
Yes,
I need to make a phone call. So we'll definitely talk that.
We'll revisit
that. Hopefully next week. So I will make it a mission this week to get more info on that. But I've seen plenty of marketing in magazine ads where they're dressed, but they just don't look believable to me that they ride and then they're wearing gear that's a size too big for them or they're wearing something that just doesn't fit them. And that drives me almost as crazy as it being pink. But, but I do like the fact that BMW at least uses they're using real women, like just your average, you know, average friend, girlfriend who rides a motorcycle. And at least I think they're
accessible.
Yeah, exactly. They're portraying, I think, a true representation of the female riding population, just your average girl, you know, and on TV. So I'll try to look for it because I see here in the list the times that they're going to be showing these ads. And I do love American Pickers. So I will. I'll record that and see if anything comes up.
And I tried to, I distinctly remember this being BMW. And if anyone's actually listening to our podcast, here's a question for you all, because unfortunately typing in BMW commercial GS off-road forest doesn't get you very much. I distinctly remember a BMW commercial, and I'm going to say it's in the last 5 to 10 years. So it could be, you know, 6 or 7. Of a guy who was riding a BMW, fully geared up in like maybe the rally suit, in traffic. And I want to say it kind of had a feel like it was the Pacific Northwest somewhere, maybe Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
And he was in traffic and he decided, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to go through the forest here. And so literally he goes from pavement, guns it, goes up the embankment and through the trees.
What?
And ends up popping out on the other side, and it almost looks like it's, if I remember this correctly, and it's been a long time, something like downtown San Francisco, ends up popping out the other side, peels off his gear, and there's a suit underneath, and is all calm, cool, and collected, and walks into the office. I cannot find that commercial.
Did you look on YouTube?
I actually saw it, and I'm pretty sure it was BMW.
Okay. Yeah.
So if anyone has an excellent ability to Google random phrases and have it spit out what you're actually looking for, bonus points if you can find that commercial.
Yeah.
Because granted, there is no woman in it, but I find that commercial, clearly it's been years, I find that commercial very innovative. Love it.
That does sound really
interesting. Anyone who can remember a commercial that was from 5, 6, 7 years ago,
yeah,
and it sits with them, has done a great job in terms of marketing. Certainly put a seed in my mind in terms of, well, you know, I'm stuck on the 5 here, and there's an embankment, and if I slide through the hole in the fence there, it always has my mind going somewhere else other than where it should be when I'm riding.
Well, I certainly have not seen anything remotely close to being that interesting in terms of any kind of sport bike commercial at all. It's like the only commercials I remember are, because they're horrible, are the Geico biker commercials, What's Her Bucket Flow, and those annoying Progressive commercials with more bikers that I cannot relate to. And then that ad, everyone's seen that, I think it was a Gucci ad with, oh God, what's her name? The one who's like 20 pounds.
Keira Knightley.
Yes, her. You know,
she does not ride. She was trailered on that bike.
Yeah,
but I love the outfit. If they want to make me a suede outfit with all the protective gear that outfit was lacking, well, because she was only on a trailer, sign me up, because I am all over that. That and the helmet that she was wearing, the manufacturer escapes me.
You could get that outfit custom made. I'm sure many, many companies out there, or many of the custom suit manufacturers would be thrilled to do that for you, because there are a lot of custom one-piece leather and two-piece leather options out there. But the only reason I remember that commercial is because the outfit matched the bike, and it was really pretty, and too pretty. And, you know,
and it was also my favorite bike, which is the Ducati 750SS.
Oh, then what the hell are you doing on a BMW?
Because I don't have $25,000 to invest in a 70s vintage Ducati.
I mean, that's the only one I really remember, but there's nothing relatable. Like, I don't think we will ever see a relatable motorcycle commercial in the United States for women. The BMW thing, I think, sadly, is the closest, even though it only has the one woman out of how many people? 6, 8?
You know, I'll go and count, but I think it's more like 20 in all 3 commercials.
Oh, I mean, that's, sadly, it's like, I don't think they'll ever really take us seriously in that regard, to really tap into that kind of female writer, or to bring out that kind of female writer. You know, it's just going to be the same crap of, you know, women wearing nothing and half helmets on big bikes and on back. And I don't foresee it ever ending. It's just, I feel like I see more crap every day, and I'm actually kind of happy that BMW has this commercial, and I'm going to go watch it. So I'm, you know, I see where you're coming from, but it's sad, because that's, it's like the best we're going to see for a while, you know?
But not every magazine ad has a woman with very little clothing on it.
Very true. No, that is true. Not every ad is written out that way, but I say 90% of it is not relatable.
Yeah.
Like, not real in that sense. Not, you know, I think advertising is, I mean, ideally, I think that that kind of marketing is supposed to present to you an idea of where you didn't think you should go, or you didn't think you'd want to go, but it's really where you should be going, to kind of lead you in a different direction and not just push you into the same corner that, you know, women on motorcycles have been in the last 50-100 years, which is on the back or, you know, not really as involved as the male counterpart. I don't know. I want to make my own. Maybe I have to make my own commercials.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately, you know, unless one of our five listeners is connected.
Oh, hey, yeah. So if you are one of our five, we thank you for listening. I think this one might be a slightly longer show than last week's show. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. I think that does it for me. What do you think?
I think that's pretty good.
I think we're tapped out. We'll have more for you next week. There's always something to complain about or or discuss or debate. And if you have any questions or, I don't know, any comments or any stories or anything like that that you think is interesting that you want to share with us, please do. Just send us an email. You can send an email to motorific@gmail.com or post a comment maybe on the blog post for this episode, because as soon as it's ready I'll post a link on our blog. Post it on our Facebook page. You can do that too. facebook.com/moterrificpodcast.com. So you could put a note there. You know, we're on Twitter. I mean, we're, you know, there are ways to find us. So just send any ideas you have and we can try to cover it.
And I promise I'll be better at homework come next week when I'm past my hurdle of studying for an exam. So.
Oh, whatever. There is no homework.
Educating myself on inline four versus twin. Got to do that.
Oh,
next week's topic.
Dang it. We didn't cover that this time, Will.
I would have been silent. You would have been leading the conversation.
Whatever. You ride a twin. That you have plenty of feedback. You're crazy.
Yeah, but I can't tell you what's the difference between my twin and an inline four.
No, but you can tell us the difference, maybe how that bike feels compared to, say, your first bike, which was maybe a single? I forgot what your first ride was.
Probably a single, since it was only a 200cc bike.
See, you can compare your single to your twin.
Yeah, I'm sure there's definitely more power in the twin, I'm sure.
See, you got, yeah, whatever.
Sorry, my blonde roots are coming in this conversation, which is why I said I need to do some homework before I start going into any grave detail and making everyone change the channel.
Okay, so we'll task you that for next week. Well, we promise to go over that next week. And actually, in preparation for that, you know, send us an email or post a comment if you have anything you want to share about your experience, either from switching from a four-cylinder bike to a twin or the other way. Maybe you went from a twin to a four-cylinder, and maybe why, or why you recommend it, what you love, what you hate. Just, you know, just your general experience riding different kinds of bikes with different engines and, you know, whether it was a good thing or bad thing. We want to hear it all. So I guess until then, we will see you next week. And thank you, five people. Thank you for listening. Maybe next week we'll get to six. All right. Till next time. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.